I bumped into this gentleman at a meeting a few months ago, and he's my guest today. Mike Leatherbury is a senior, a later life advisor. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the programme.
Afternoon, Rob.
What is a senior later life advisor, and what do they do?
Basically, it's someone who's able to advise people how to borrow money in older life, over 55 or more, usually. If they're retired or on low levels of income, they may not be able to get the normal style mortgages. So it is a way of borrowing money when they need it. For many, it could be an interest-only mortgage coming to an end. A lot of lenders now are sort of calling those interest-only mortgages in. And for a lot of people, especially if their income has gone down dramatically, if they've retired or about to retire, then it is a problem for them to get another mortgage. Other people it can affect is people who, again, are just on pensions, maybe getting some benefits but still struggling. If they take an amount of money up, it might be to improve their property, make it a better place, or just improve their lives. There are a lot of people who've got bucket lists that they want to complete, or even help their children or grandchildren.
Well, of course, the cost of university, etc., as well. So it's always nice to help out the children or the grandchildren, isn't it? As your job got more complicated over the years, obviously, have people planned for their retirement, or do a lot of people just worry about it when it happens?
Well, my background was building society, and after that I was an IFA, independent financial advisor. And what I always found was people, when you spoke about pensions, were reluctant to put money away because they were concerned that they might lose it all or whatever. There's a lot of that in those days. Or they simply couldn't afford it.
Well, some people just lived hand to mouth, don't they? You know, they can't afford to put the money. I know they're in compulsory pensions these days,
yes.
But you go back a few years, they didn't exist, did they?
No, they changed over the years, so people have had to or needed to put money away, sometimes not possible. So they'll get to retirement and they may be getting just a state pension, and it's not enough, basically. So yes, they can actually up that by getting pension credit, and that's something that I'd always discuss with people as well. But again, it might not be enough, especially considering the cost of council tax alone, which can be quite phenomenal.
Now, we've all seen these adverts on the telly, haven't we? Go sell, rent off your property, you know, borrow money against your property. What advice can you give our listeners as to how to go about that and how best to protect themselves? Because you don't know, some of these people could be a bit suspicious, couldn't they? Especially, I always suspect these people than they advertise on telly, you know. What would you say to that?
I think if you're using anyone, make sure they're a member of the Equity Release Council. That's a good thing to looking at, quite important. Someone you can feel you can trust and speak to is not just trying to do a one-off sale, but will discuss it with you and sometimes maybe saying to you it's not for you. For some people, it's not suitable, and it's important that you take the time. Don't be rushed. Also, if you can have someone with you, a friend or a member of the family, I'd always recommend that, if possible. Some people don't want to discuss it with their family, and that's fine, but I'd always recommend that sort of situation. And making sure these people fully understand. We have to make sure it's right for the person. It is a long-term plan. You can repay it, but there are early payment charges in the early years. But you still own the property. This is a misconception. You still own the property. So if it's a relatively small loan, even if it's building up and you're not paying any interest back, which you can if you want to, it's not probably going to be a huge percentage of the value of your property going forward. But again, something we would discuss in full.
Now, we mentioned interest-free mortgages earlier on. They were very fashionable at one. Well, I think they still are, aren't they? Do a lot of people come to the end of their interest-free mortgage and then think, oh crikey, I'm in trouble now. How am I going to pay this off?
Exactly. Interest-only mortgages were a bit of a fad going back some years. To be fair, I did some interest-only mortgages for people a long time ago, mainly first-time buyers who were struggling to get on the property market. That's all they could afford. Always recommending that they try and make some payments back. But yes, there are a lot of people that are getting to the end of those mortgages now, and the lenders, as you say, are calling it in. Those are the people that really need some help and advice, and it may be that if that mortgage is not too great, it can be covered off on either an equity release mortgage or alternatively an interest-only mortgage again into retirement if affordable for the client, and that's something that you need to consider as well.
Now, it might not be as bad as it always seems, because obviously if you've had an interest-free mortgage on your property and it's run, I don't know, for 20, 25 years, the house has gone up in value, so it's not the end of the world, is it?
No, I agree on that. Most of the mortgages that are in on interest only shouldn't be that great as a value of the property these days. If you're going back 25 years, the mortgage amounts are a lot smaller than they are now. And yes, property prices have gone up a lot. Whether they'll continue to keep going up is another matter. We don't know. But it could be if you were borrowing, for instance, £25,000 now and that doubled to 50 because you hadn't paid any interest. It's still very much within the value of the properties as they are today. And if property prices go up, still a small percentage in real terms.
So it's sort of kept up with inflation and then some, really, isn't it?
Very much so. You asked earlier about the situation with adverts, etc. There is a scheme called a reversionary scheme, and that will give you a higher percentage of the value of the property, but you no longer own the property then, or you only own a small percentage. The sort of schemes I would be looking at, or any good advisor would be looking at, would be those that enable you to pay interest back if you can, but not actually be contractually tied into making a payment.
Now, you're obviously a local advisor. We talked about those adverts on the TV. You see them all the time, don't you? Especially during the day. Yeah. Are people better off dealing with somebody locally? You know, they can go knock on their door if there's something goes wrong, rather than dealing with some company that's, you know, on an 0800 number. What would your I know what you're going to say, but what would your advice be? You've gone red.
I've got to be very careful here.
Yeah, of course you have.
But big companies advertising. I think the more that people advertise items, the more suspicious I get, whatever they're advertising, by the way. Why are they having to advertise so much? Word of mouth used to be a very good recommendation, and that's sort of changed with these adverts, as you say. One, there are a couple of companies that, I won't mention names, but there are a couple of companies that are advertising every day in every paper, on every TV program, and my thought process is they've got to get so much money in to cover those.
Well, the advertising alone costs a fortune, doesn't it?
Very much so. And I think there, if they're spending that much, I don't know. I think there is a situation there where the advisor becomes under pressure a little bit to do the job, as it were. And sometimes it is necessary to say no to people. This isn't the right thing for you. You don't need it. And there are people around like that.
So they're going to be full of sales pitch, maybe, some of these companies.
You might like to say that. I can possibly comment.
I can say that. Yes, I can say that.
Thank you for the thought, Rob.
Does it pay when you're thinking of these things, maybe, to go away and have a bit of a cooling off period before you dive in?
I'd agree entirely. If you're seeing someone and there's an urgent need for it, as I say, if the interest-only mortgage is coming up and you're getting pressure from the lender, then it might be you need to move reasonably fast. But at the same time, I think take your time, as I said originally. Take your time. Look at all the details. If you can get a friend or a relative to look at it as well, if they can't be present on the interview, do that. Also look through all the information and make sure you understand it. There is something has come in now called consumer duty, and that is really needs us to be doing the job fully and carefully and properly. And there should be a full suitability letter that comes out to you as well, which explains why, when and where it's good for you.
Would it be a good idea when your mortgage is coming to an end like that, if it's a repayment mortgage or even if it's an interest-only mortgage, to talk to your provider well in advance to plan?
If it's a repayment mortgage, then it's going to come to an end. There won't be anything outstanding on a normal repayment mortgage. You may have a part repayment.
Sometimes they have a sort interest. Of final payment or something like that, don't they?
Not normally, because it's based on a certain number of years. So if you've got a 25 years mortgage, then the amount is actually reducing all the time until it becomes nil in the final year or the final month, effectively. But in certainly interest-only mortgages, if you've got one coming up, yeah, by all means, have a word with your lender and see if they are prepared to look at options as well. And at least then you've got them in hand if you're speaking to someone.
So people like your good self, what qualifications do you have to have, and who would the public need to go to get the right sort of advice? Presumably you have to do a lot of training before you end up doing your job.
Yeah, there are certain qualifications we have to have, and also there's regular testing each year. Those are the sort of main things that are coming up. I think it's experience as well. How long have people been around in this business? Generally, people that will do this type of loan are older themselves, so they actually understand it. It's that experience thing. I say, from my own point of view, I've come from a building society background, and why I get so excited, if you like, about this type of borrowing is it wasn't there when I was in the building society. It was a repayment mortgage or an endowment mortgage in those days, and that was it. So these just give so many options to people going forward, and that's why I get worked up about it. But it is all about experience, knowledge. If you've got any friends that have done it, you may have recommendations from them. But finding someone who's been around a little bit, obviously,
do your research is the bottom line.
I think so.
I think that pays off with a lot of things, doesn't it, in life, especially financial things. Do your research, talk to other people, see who they recommend.
Yeah, very much so. Going forward, I think people need to look at it. Is their lifestyle how they want it? Are there things they want to do? Have they got interest-only mortgages coming up to end? Another interesting one is upsizing.
Upsizing, that's a new one. Yeah. In later years, we all tend to downsize, don't we?
FCA's recommendation, and I always recommend it first to everyone, should you downsize? Downsize, that's what you need to do. And we always say that because the FCA say we should do that. But you'll get the odd person that says, actually, Mike, I want to go and I'm living wherever, and I want to go and live in Poundbury. It's going to cost me a bit more. Can I do it? Yeah, we can do it. It's a potential. So it's all those sort of things. But downsizing is our first option. But that in itself carries some concerns. You've got all the costs of moving. Do you end up in a property that you don't really like, or the neighbours aren't as good as the ones you had before? So,
it's a bit of a balancing act, moving house, isn't it? I've done it a couple of times, and I wouldn't want to do it again, to be honest with you.
It's the stress, the people coming around your house saying, yeah, I want to buy it, and actually they don't want to buy it at all, they're just nosy.
They're just being nosy, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in today. It's been a very interesting chat. I think you will have helped some of our listeners out. If we get any questions, would you be happy to come in again?
Certainly, Rob, and if there's other subjects you want to discuss, I'm quite happy to.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Mike Lathebury, who is a senior later life advisor. Sorry, did I pronounce it wrong?
Yeah, it's Lathbury. Lathbury. It's okay. No one ever gets my name right. Don't worry, Rob. I got called Lothbury the other day, and I said, I'm not a university.
Okay. Yeah.